Blog Talk Radio.
And today the Lord gave me a psalm, and it's just this: be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Hallelujah. For our Father God is exalted, but he is who he is, the National Day of Prayer. And all I can say is thanking God that people pray. We pray to the Most High God. And so many times we get caught up in words and declarations and a whole lot of rhetoric and not in God. There's only one God. Call him different names, but there's only one. There are cultures that have never heard of Jesus Christ, but they know there's one God. They may not be able to call his name, but they just know that he is over everything and he created everything. We as men and women of God have got to get our head out. We have to look up and know that there is one God, and we have to learn how to love each other. It's so easy to judge. It's so easy to criticize, but it would be so much better if we worked together. You got this party that believes in this, and you got this party that believes in that. Doesn't that sound familiar? You got this church that believes in one thing. You got this church that believes in another thing. You got this faith that believes in something totally different when there's only one God and only one Son and the Holy Spirit, and they are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one. There are those that don't believe in the Trinity. I do. I have read this word many times. God gave me clarity to understand that no one has seen the face of God. Moses did not see God on that mountain. Who do you think he was seeing? As we get to it in Daniel, it was not God in the flesh, which is his Son, which is the other part that he sent to us. He's always been there. Let us create man in our image. Who's the us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. To love each other. jealousy, envy, hatred are not of God. Racism, bigotry, and every other ism out there is not of God. God is love. And all he's asking of us is that we love each other. As we get ready to go through our words, this is Friday, so we will be in the Old Testament. Sunday, we will be in the New Testament. And today, God gave me a psalm. So we will be doing Psalms today, and Proverbs will be with our New Testament word on Sunday. So we're going to get into the word this morning because we have a lot of word to get through. Because we're doing 3 days of word today from the New Old Testament. There will not be a blog on Saturday. I blog Sunday to Friday, which is my assignment from God. Because Saturday, some of those things include attempting to rest, let me put it that way. So let's keep going today. Father God, we are thankful. We are grateful and we are blessed for this do-over. Lord, I pray that this day is better than yesterday. And Lord, I pray for bereaved families today, those that have lost loved ones, mothers, nieces, fathers, friends, family members, Lord, husbands, wives, children, parents, grandparents. I pray for bereaved today, Lord God, asking you to please watch over them, to give them strength, to give them understanding that every man has a day, but only you know it. Lord God, I ask for families to be able to accept that their loved one is absent from this earthly body, but in your presence. Father God, I ask for blessings. I ask for grace and I ask for mercy over those that are seeking you and wanting to spend more time with you. I pray for those grandmothers and grandfathers and grandparents that are raising their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Lord God, I pray for the mothers and fathers that are out there working hard to raise their children. I pray for families today, Father God, asking you to put hedges of protection around families that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Lord God. But we know that it's not about blood. It's about love. As we get ready to come up on Mother's Day, I thank you for the mothers that raised me, for my village. I thank you for my mother, for my godmothers, and all the willing workers that helped to raise me to be a woman of God. And I call those by name. My mother, Evelyn, I ask you to watch over her, to keep her covered under the blood, that she knows that she is loved, that she is a wonderful mother. I thank you for the godmother that my mother allowed to raise me. I thank you for Lillian. I believe, Lord God, who instilled in me the love of you. And Lord, as I pray this prayer today, I will pray again for these women of God, Mary, Lord God, who was there when I needed a place to get married. Anna, who said, you're not my daughter-in-law, you're my daughter. These are women that have gone before, and I ask you, Lord God, to continue to watch over their souls shall rise. Father God, I thank you for the Paducah ladies, as my husband calls them, the satellites, the willing workers, the missionaries, the women of Birch Chapel AME Church who instilled in me a love for Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for all of them. I thank you, Father God, for the officers of the Salvation Army showed a little girl what it was like to minister and to study the Word of God and to not be afraid to say, I love Jesus, no matter where I am. I thank God for all of these people in my life. Miss Ruth, who's gone before, that raised this young lady here. I'm 62 years young. And I thank God for the women in my life now, W Faith women. You are magnificent. And my pastor, I thank God for her and ask you to continue to watch over her. But Lord God, I speak today on families. I thank you for Pastor Paul as well, Lord God, for they are one. But on Sunday, Lord, I will be praying for mothers, all mothers, the bad ones and the ones that just act ugly, for every one of them did their assignment. They brought children into this world. Lord God, I thank you for all things good and perfect. I thank you for the bad. I thank you for the struggles. I thank you for everything, Lord, because everything makes us stronger. And Lord, I ask you to please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Please let this word that I read, that it touch hearts, minds, and spirits this morning. Let someone leave this blog different than when they came on. Let this word touch their heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. Cannot do this without him. So let's get into our word this morning. We are coming out of the book of 1 Samuel. And I just say this. It's getting there. It's going down. Saul is about to be introduced to his replacement. He doesn't know it yet, but there's going to be some things going down here. But David is a man of God's heart, not perfect, because we're not perfect, but David loves God, and God loves him, just as God loves us in the way of the Lord today. Knowing that he is God and loves us. We're going to start this morning a little different. We're going to start in our Psalms word, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel. And we're starting in Psalms chapter 57, verses 4 through 11. And it says this, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. My heart is steadfast. Oh, Lord, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will thing to your to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Hallelujah. Let your glory be above all the earth. Psalms chapter 58. And it says, the chief musician said to do not destroy a victim of David. Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? No, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice charmers ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them flow away as waters which run continually when he bends his bow. Let his arrows be as if cut in pieces. Let them be like a snail which melts away as it goes, like a stillborn child of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pot can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, as in his living and burning wrath, vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges the earth. In Psalms 59:1-5, chief musician said to do not destroy a victim of David when Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, you therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. He's feeling the pressure of someone following and after him for no reason. What did I do? It's what he was in his heart. What did I do to cause you to want to kill me? What did I do? We all have those what did I do's in our heart. We ask God as we go back to our psalm that starts our word for today. And it was in yesterday's word, but God put it in my heart for today. And it just says, the first part of Psalm 57, says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God, Most High. To God who performs all things for me, he shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Send forth his mercy and his truth. And as our word for today says again, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my step. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah, my heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. David could write. But understand, he was going through and he was giving praise even in the midst to God. And even when we go through our trials, even though we go through our tribulations, we must be exalted. We must exalt the Lord, O God, above the heaven. Glory be above all the earth. Thank you, Father, for this word this morning. And as we get into our word this morning, we have our title word comes from Psalms chapter 57, which I have just read. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the teaching of this word. And 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? See, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I am to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his son and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I love that word. Because, you know, we as women have seen really, really handsome men with what some would perceive as a not-so-pretty woman. And then you wonder, huh? But then God shows you her soul, and you see her beauty. God shows you her light, and you see the joy that he sees. And then you see a beautiful model, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous woman with a not-so-handsome husband. And again, God will give you discernment to see his handsomeness and how with love and respect and how he loves her with every fiber and she loves him back. God does not look at the outward appearance of any of us, just like love does not look at the outward appearance of any of us. God looks at our inside, and love looks at our insides. Let's keep moving. It says, so Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful playing on the harp. Shall be that he will play it with his hand. When a distressing spirit comes, God is upon you, and you shall be well. Then one of the servants, Then one of the servants said, look, I have seen a son. She's a Bethlehemite who is skilled in playing a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with them. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Sekah, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Sekah and Ezkah-Damnah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a campaign went out from the camp of the Philistines. Named Goliath. And we all know this story. If you've ever been in Sunday school, you know the story of David and Goliath. So let's keep it moving, and it is a great story. And Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. The man who was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd Shimei. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep, drew near, and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hands of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely by Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first one did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, he reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the head of the Philistines." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff, in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. We're going to make a shout. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sleeve and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shechem, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his army. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As your soul lives, O Lord, I do not know. I'm sorry, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, Inquire whose son this young man is. Now, wait a minute. This same young man is soothing your soul with his harp, but you don't even know who he is. Come on now. That shows so high and mighty that you don't even know who the servant is that's helping you. Then said, Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, tambourines with joy and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has his 10,000. And Saul was very angry, and the thing displeased him. And he said, they are ascribed to David 10,000. To me, they have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over the thousands. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here is my daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, let my hands not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. So David said to Saul, who am I? What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Methuselite, as a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I will give her to him, and she may be, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today. And Saul commanded his servants, communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delighted in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servant spoke those words in the hearing of David. And David says, does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor and highly esteemed man and lightly esteemed man? David was a humble man. And the servant of Saul told him, saying, in this manner David spoke. Then Saul said, thus you shall say to David, king does not desire any dowry, 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So when his servant told David these things, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired. Therefore David arose and went, he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all the servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand before my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you. Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistine. And the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then would you stand against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan and Saul's words. The Lord lives. he should not be killed. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul. He was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with his spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, cover of goat's hair on his head, and covered it with clothes. So when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. Then Saul sent the messengers back to see David, saying, bring him to me in the bed, that I may kill him. And when the messengers had come in, there was an image in the bed with a cover of goat's hair for his head. Then Saul said to Michal, why have you deceived me just like this and sent my enemy away so that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill you? So David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Naioth. Now it was so Saul saying, take note, David is at Naioth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Sechach. So he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone, indeed, they are at Naioth in Ramah. So he went there to Naioth in Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Understand, God can have anyone prophesy. If that is what God wants to do, what happened is, Saul got in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you get into the presence of the Holy Spirit, we don't know what can happen. You can speak tongues. You can speak words. You can just go in the presence of God. And then on chapter 20, it says, then David fled from Naioth in Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? So Jonathan said to him, by no means, you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Then David took an oath again and said, your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. So Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. And David said to Jonathan, indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go, that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he says thus, it is well, your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? But Jonathan said, far be it from me, from you, for if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then I would not tell you. Then would I not tell you? Then David said to Jonathan, who will tell me or what if your father answers you roughly? And Jonathan said to David, come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. And Jonathan said to David, the Lord God of Israel is witness when I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is a good toward David, I do not sin to you and tell you, may the Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety, and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off my kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remain by the stone eagle. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shot at a target. And there I will send a lad saying, go, find the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come. Then as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you. Go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the manner which you and I have spoken of, indeed, the Lord be between you and me forever. Jonathan was good at heart, and he loved David as his friend, as his brother, because he was his brother-in-law. And he wanted David to be safe. God wants us to be safe. And he has sent an intercessor, Jesus Christ, just as he sent Jonathan to intercede for David. And as we continue our word, we are going to go a little over today as we get our word in our Old Testament done today. And it says this, then David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on his seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him. By which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time of, and a little lad was with him. Then he said to his lad, "Now run, find the arrow which I shoot." And the lad ran. He shot an arrow beyond him. Then the lad had come to the place where the arrow was which Jonathan had shot. Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond you? And Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Make haste, hurry, do not delay." So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, "Go carry them to the city." As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from the place for the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together. But David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now David came to Nob, Arnab, to Amalek, when he met David, and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one is with you?" So David said to Ahimelech, "The priest, the king, has ordered me on some business and said to me, 'Do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you.' And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand and whatever can be found." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women." Then David answered the priest and said to him, "Truly, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out. And the vessel of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day." So the so the priest gave him holy bread. But there was no bread there, but the showbread which had been taken from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away. Certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg. An Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Amalek, "Is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." So the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it. For there is no other except the one there." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dance and sing, 'Saul has slain his thousand, and David his 10,000. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretending madness in their hands, and scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down to his beard. Then Achish said to his servant, 'Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" And that is our word for this morning. We're going to go back over a few life lessons, and then we will wrap it up. And I ask God to please add a blessing to the reading and teaching of this wonderful word this morning, for it has been a really, really great word. you know, so much hatred and anger and deception, anointing. He's going to give it to somebody else. You know, and this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God could have told Samuel ahead of time what to do and who to anoint, but he didn't. He recognized that even a godly man like Samuel couldn't help but judge a man's character by his appearance. This is why we must continually go to the Lord for his wisdom. Only he sees the heart. He leads us one step at a time, teaching us to trust him and to continually listen for his voice. To listen for the voice of God. And 1 Samuel 16 and 19, send me your son David. As God sent Moses into the household of Pharaoh to train him for the future, so he sent David into Saul's palace to train him for the future. However, David couldn't succeed without the Spirit of the Lord any more than Saul could. We will enjoy true success only when we cooperate with the Lord by allowing his Spirit to fill us. Through the Spirit, God will always equip us for the task he gives us. God will not send you into anything without equipping you first. What role does faith play in doing great things for God? 1 Samuel 17, and that's chapter 17. Faith is believing that God will do as he has promised. Faith is not a power. It's not something we have to drum up inside ourselves. Faith is trusting that God will honor his promises. That is all there is to it. The famous story of David and Goliath illustrates this as well as any. The armies of Israel lined up on one side of the valley, while the Philistines had lined up on the other. Every day the giant warrior Goliath would walk down into the valley and taunt the armies of Israel. One day, young David arrived on the scene with a fresh outlook. Notice that he said when he heard Goliath's arrogant threat, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David didn't see Goliath as merely the enemy of Israel. He saw him as God's enemy. And David knew that God could take Goliath out of the picture with no problem. So David acted on his faith. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of Israelite soldiers had greater training to do battle with Goliath than David. But they responded to the giant threat with paralyzing fear, stress, and anxious frustration. David, on the other hand, didn't seem upset at all. Why not? Because he knew it was God's battle, not his. Apart from the Lord, he knew he didn't stand a chance. But with the help of the Lord, he knew that everything would turn out all right. Neither David nor the soldiers of Israel had the natural ability to defeat the giant. But with one party focused on its inability and therefore panicked, the other party focused on God's provision and therefore remained confident. The only difference was focus. David did exactly what he knew how to do while trusting God to do the rest. Living by faith boils down to living in the confidence that God is supremely faithful to keep his word. So David gathered a few stones, walked down into the valley, carried on a short but heated exchange with Goliath, loaded, and then fired. He had taken those actions countless times before. Nothing out of the ordinary there. But once the first stone left its sling, God stepped in to do what only he could do, and Goliath went down. That's faith. That's where the great things originate. Hallelujah. We have to be faithful to God in everything we do. In chapter 17, verse 33 of 1 Samuel, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Saul allowed his fear of men to eclipse a godly fear of the Lord. Saul had trained himself to look at things only through the eyes of the flesh. He had no idea how to see with eyes of faith. Fear
still left unchecked can run us both spiritually, can ruin us both spiritually and physically. How did David stay brave when facing Goliath? Because he feared and loved God more than he feared anything else. Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. That's the key to success. Come on now. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Faith is the Holy Spirit's signal to go into action. David activated his faith before he activated his will. Before he began his walk into the valley, he exercised his faith in the Lord. A sword, a spear, a javelin are no match for the Lord of hosts. David knew God was with him and already had seen what his presence could accomplish. Woo! David loved God and trusted God. And what do we have to do? Love God and trust God. First Samuel chapter 18, that deadliness of anger. The few people in the Bible exhibited as much anger as the king Saul. Saul's anger seemed to erupt when David returned from battle and the women greeted him with this song. Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000. The scripture tells us Saul was very angry. And the same anger and jealousy Saul twice through his fear of David, trying to pin David to the wall. But David, in the position of authority, hoping that David would put David in a position of authority, hoping David would fall, would fail to lead wisely and thus be discredited. But he wasn't. Required that David kill 100 Philistines before he would give him his daughter in marriage, hoping that David would die while fighting the Philistines. He didn't. Pursued David continually for more than a decade, forcing David to live in exile and more frequently from hiding place to hiding place. Not only did Saul pursue David without mercy, but he ordered the murder of those who helped David. He even turned on his own son with murderous intent. Saul's anger had no end. It is easy to see anger at work in a person such as Saul. Violent outbursts lead to a boiling rage that manifests itself repeatedly over time. The angry person often has visible changes in physical appearance, such as a dilated eyes and tense muscles. Internally, blood pressure rises and the stomach feels as if it's tied in knots. It is far more difficult to recognize anger in ourselves. We tend to tolerate a great deal of anger in our personal lives. Some even see anger as a sign of strength or power. God's word, however, forbids such an ungodly tolerance for anger. That kind of anger damages emotional health and well-being and hampers spiritual growth and witness. God closely links wrath with the work of the evil one in our lives. So the scripture admonishes us clearly, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, or give place to the devil. And we have to remember that that's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Life lessons, 1 Samuel 18 and 1, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan recognized in David a kindred spirit, a man who loved the Lord wholeheartedly as he did. Their close friendship blessed not only themselves, but eventually all of Israel. We need each other to move forward in faith, family. And I thank Dr. Stanley for all of his words this morning. And again, 1 Samuel 18 and 8, life lessons. They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me, they have ascribed only thousands. Instead of dwelling on the great deliverance that God had just brought about through David, the one he should not fear, in this case, David. Because he did not fear the one he should have feared, God. Saul's wrong focus eventually destroyed him. We got to know that God is in charge. And as we continue life lessons, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. God can protect his children in the most unorthodox of ways. He does not need weapons of war or fast horses. He can cause even our mortal enemies to act in ways contrary to their nature He is sovereign. Hallelujah. And our last lesson today is this. The Lord, the need of Christian friendship. Adversity, this is from chapter 20, adversity often brings us face to face with our need to associate with different set of people. Perhaps we need new friends. Perhaps we need to sever ties with others. Perhaps we need to align ourselves more closely with Christian believers. God made us for fellowship and communication with other human beings and with himself. None of us were designed to go it alone. I'm going to read that again. None of us were designed to go it alone. We need other people and they need us. At times, however, we make unwise associations. We choose the wrong friend, our employer, our partner, our employee. And inevitably, our bad choices bring us adversity. David and Jonathan provides us with a very good model for true friendship. Jonathan's love for his friend caused him to act in several specific ways. He warned David for possible danger. He spoke well of David even to a person who considered David an enemy and who was angry with Jonathan for having David as a friend. He sought to do what David needed him to do. He risked his life in defending David. He helped David escape death. Jonathan voiced one of the greatest statements of friendship in the Bible when he said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever." Paul describes Christian fellowship in what we have come to call the love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. He describes Christian fellowship as patient, kind, humble, polite, selfless, unruffled, and positive, magnanimous, and rooted in truth, and supportive, hopeful, and enduring. Such love, Paul said, never fails, and such friendship are divine blessings in our lives, God's rich reward to us on this earth. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 13. The Lord be with you as he has been with your father. Jonathan gathers all friendship with David in the Lord, the centerpiece of their relationship. This is always the way to the closest and best friendship. And that is our word for today. And I thank you all for joining me this morning for this lesson that went a little over our time. Please join me on Sunday as we celebrate mothers, and we are in Luke and Proverbs. Thank you so very much. I praise God. I thank him for his word this morning, which has touched my heart, and I pray that it has touched yours. And as we wrap it up this morning, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this. When we kneel before God, he stands up for us. When he stands up for us, no one can stand against us. Have a fantastic Friday. And again, our sister in Christ, who does not know what I'm going to be teaching from day to day, but God always gives her a word to sum up the lesson. And the lesson is summed up when we kneel before God, David prayed and loved God 100%. He stands up for us. He was with David when he went up against Goliath, and he was with David when he had to flee from Saul. And he says again, when he stands up for us, no one can stand against us. Did Goliath not die on that field? One smooth stone changed the course of a war. One smooth stone killed a giant. One smooth stone saved Israel. God can do miraculous things when we allow him to fight our battles. God can do miraculous things when we allow him control of our life. give whatever it is that's going on in your life today to the Lord God and watch him work miracles in it. Lord, I give myself away, asking you to take control. I am your humble servant, ready to receive a blessing from you. In the name of Christ Jesus, as we wrap it up, if there's anyone that would need to speak, please push the 1 immediately on your phone as you dial 213-943-3597. Anger on friendship, but above all, on how God can work in our life. When we think something is impossible, God shows us that the impossible is possible when he fights our battles for us. That's all I have this morning. I thank you for all listening. As I get hoarse, because I've spoken for a pretty long time today, but I thank God for his word. It has touched me. And I pray again that it has touched you. Don't worry about the Goliaths in your life, because God's got one smooth stone that can knock the Goliaths out and kill them. God is fighting your battles today. Don't worry. Just pray. Father God, we thank you for this word this morning. We ask that it touch hearts, minds, and spirits. And Lord, as we depart from each other, I pray that you will watch between me and them, that you will watch over their children and their children's children and their progeny from this day forward. Father God, I thank you for all things good and small, all things perfect and imperfect come from you. And Lord, above all, I thank you for your mighty and gracious Son, my Savior Christ Jesus, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who will come again. I ask you, Father God, that we all be ready to receive him, King and Lord of Lords, who sits on your right hand, who has made our enemies our footstool. For he is great and greatly to be praised. So I thank you, Father God, for your Son. I thank you, Father God, for this mighty word. I thank you, Father God, for being my Father who always there for me, watching over me. And I thank you, Lord, for this word. And it's in Jesus' name I lift up each and every one that's listening now and who will be listening later, that you watch over them, that you bless their families. As we go into Mother's Day on this weekend, Mother's Day weekend, Lord, I pray for mothers that they will love their children as you love us, that they will be there for their children as you are for us, and that they will always put you first, for you are our Father God, and we love you. I thank you, Lord, for all things good and small. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And I say to you, family, today, it is a wrap. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Keeping God first in everything that you do. Watch him work in your life. Have a great day, family. And join me on Mother's Day on Sunday.